Recordings have begun. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time.
Thank you very much, Sandy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the IOC call on the 5th of September 2012. On the call today, we have Jeff Newman, Lanway Ajayi, Thomas Ricketts, Volkan Kreinwaster, Greg Sutton, Osvaldo Navoa, and Debbie Hughes. We have apologies from Kieran Mullen-Saraville, David Healy, and Chuck Gomes. From staff, we have Brian Peck, Barry Cobb, Dylan de Saint-Géry, and myself, Matthew Perrazin. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Jeff.
Thank you very much, and welcome, everyone. It's now weekly calls. I think as we started, we'll start this week now having weekly calls through the month of September and at least the first week of October in preparation for the Toronto meeting that's in mid-October. And the purpose is to hopefully get down to a final recommendation to the GAC proposal with respect to second-level reservations of the IOC and Red Cross names present to the GAC in Toronto. So welcome to the call, everyone. I unfortunately had to miss last week's call, but I did get a recap from Chuck and from looking at the notes and looking at the proposals that were sent back and forth. So I appreciate that and the narrowing of the options down. There have been, up until today, there were no emails really that came through the list on the discussions that happened last week. So, but this morning we had a lengthy discussion in the registry stakeholder group on the different options, and I thought when Chuck had drafted an email sent to the list, which you should have gotten in the last hour or so. So I thought, given that there's nothing else to draw upon, we might want to start with the registry stakeholder group position. And if that's okay, and kind of answer questions about that and discuss, you know, our thoughts on it and maybe work from that as kind of the basis. Or if there's not agreement on it or enough difficulty, then we can you know, go somewhere else with it. But I thought it would be a good kind of way to start the meeting out. So with that, any questions? All right, welcome, Alan, as well. Okay, so I'm going to, with your indulgence, take off my chair hat just to talk about the registry position, since Chuck is at a dentist appointment and is not able to be here. So if that's okay, I'm going to just discuss the registry position and why we came to this position and the significance, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding the registry position. So, as I said this just a few minutes ago, we had a fairly lengthy discussion on this, and there's been some great emails on our registry list for the last several weeks on the different positions. And I will say one of the good things of having the new applicants, we have an observer group within the registry stakeholder group made up of applicants, and there's about 50 or so applicants that are now officially observer members. A really good thing is they've added a big dimension to this discussion, and so a lot of this represents their input as well. So with the registry stakeholder group, we really looked at the fact of we definitely wanted these issues to be finally resolved through a PDP, that there's been enough raised in the last several months on, you know, the pros and cons of protecting these names or not protecting these names. And, you know, there's, even with the unredacted paper that was put out or that was finally released by the ICANN board dating back to June, there is definitely some legal analysis that's included in there, as we heard from the registry call from the UPU, the Universal Postal Union. They dispute a number of the things that's in the unredacted papers, and they're going to come out with a paper that's very shortly. They've released it to the registries. I asked their permission to release it to this group, but I've not gotten that yet. As soon as I get their permission, I will release it to this group. So with all of this going on, with the IGOs making a much stronger call for protection, the registries really believe that this issue, along with the protection of the IGO names, really needs to go through the full PDP process. There's universal agreement within the registry stakeholder group on that. So then the question was, what do we do with these IOC and Red Cross names up until the point that a PDP is finalized? And we discussed all the options there. Do you just maintain the status quo, which is no protections, and allow the registrations to occur if the PDP is not finished? Or do you reserve them now and then wait for the outcome of the PDP? And the registries on the call today decided to err on the side of caution, discussed basically that it's essentially, I guess, the J. Scott compromise, although maybe not quite the same rationale, but the rationale the registries used was that, you know, it's much harder to take back names or create a reservation after the names have already been handed out. In fact, it's pretty much impossible to do. So that just out of the abundance of caution, it would be to take these names out of the pool of registrations up until the time that a PDP is finalized and the results are, the results of a PDP are final. It's not necessarily siding on the side of that they merit protection. It's just much easier to release them than it would be to reserve them after they're registered. And Leonard Thomas, you had some questions on that. But that's essentially the registry position. It was more out of practicality and to also emphasize the point that we have every interest in wanting to do a PDP as quickly as possible, because as long as this PDP is out there, there's no ability for these names to be registered. And so that gives us an incentive, and it also sends a clear message to the government that we're not just initiating a PDP just to delay a decision on this, that the governments now believe that PDP is synonymous with delay, and anytime you say you want to do PDP, it means you're just delaying it. And actually, that view is not just held by the governments. It's held by a number of people in the community and a number of groups. So we think it sends the right message that we're not going to allow registration at this point, but it's all fully dependent on the PDP. If the PDP finishes before the first TLD launches, then great. If not, it'll stay temporarily reserved until the outcome of the PDP. So any questions on the registry position?
Jeff, this is Thomas.
Yes, please, Thomas.
I have some difficulties with this approach. I mean, at first sight, the approach looks quite charming because we can respond to the GACS request. However, if we look at the current status, I fully agree with the part where the registries urge the GMSO Council to have this resolved within the PDP. I completely subscribe to that. At the same time, I think that within this PDP, legal protection for both organizations would need to be looked at separately because the legal basis for protection is different for these organizations. Yet, if we follow Jay Scott's approach and reserve all names, there is no such demarcation between the different legal reasons for protection. At the same time, we found out that protection is not necessarily granted per se, but that there is also legitimate use. And my feeling is that we would be responding to sort of an informal GAC request and grant these protections, but there is no protection for the GMSO in return for taking these steps. what I mean by this is the following. When we started the discussions with the GAC had claimed that for these two organizations there would be a unique tapestry of legal protection. in the, if I'm not mistaken, in the latest GAC communique, the GAC spoke of organizations such as the IOC and the RCRC. Does that mean, you know, talk about such as, you know, when the GAC dilutes its own language, that it might informally ask for similar protection for other organizations? And if so, will we respond in the same way by granting protection or having the name reserved without any exemption policy in place until the PDP is done? So I think we, in discussing this proposal, we would need to consider the broader side effects which go far beyond the mere discussion about these two organizations.
So thank you, Thomas. I apologize. My phone's ringing in the background, so I apologize for that. I think, Thomas, the registries did consider all of that. And the right now, there's a lot of talk that's going on, but there's nothing official from the GAC on the IGOs or anything else. So what happens in the future? Obviously, I none of us know whether the GAC is going to come to us and ask for other names to be put on that moratorium, I guess, if you will, on the second level names until the PDP is done. All I know is that at some point in the next few weeks, hopefully sooner, the final issue report on protection of the IGO names will come out. And the council will be in a position to hopefully initiate a PDP if that's what it wishes to do. But on the balance of harms at this point, again, was focusing only on the current request that's out there from the GAC, was to take these limited number of names, put a moratorium on them until such time that a PDP can be finalized. We understand there'll be additional entities coming forward that are IGOs that say we should get those protections too. Nothing we can do about those other than to address those at this time. I just think it's not appropriate for the GNSO to, quote, send a message to the GAC or to anyone else for the purpose of sending a message. Right now we need to respond to the request that's in front of us, and the only one that's in front of us is the request for the Olympic and Red Cross names. Again, we're not saying as registries that we believe they ultimately deserve protection. All we're saying is that it's much easier to release the names later on than it is to take the names back, because then you're talking about a whole bunch of other legal rights, of now the rights of registrants to keep names that were legitimately allocated to it. And so there's a whole bunch of other decisions that need to be made there. We want to be cautious, we want to be safe, and we want to basically, you know, let the GAC know and others that we're listening to them. And we think the balance of harms in that case, really, of just not letting these registrations go through if the PDP is ongoing, I think sends the right message and a message of a multi-stakeholder process. If the governments come to the GNSO later on and ask for the IGO names, well, then we'll deal with it then. I don't know how the registries would respond, but at this point, you know, we've only dealt with these two names. So let me go to Alan, and I'm sure, Thomas, you might want to follow up.
Thank you, Jeff. I guess I agree with you completely, and I'll give one or two other rationales. If the GNSO is, and if we in the GNSO are now going to start worrying what happens if someone does something and how will we respond to it in the future, we'd never change any policy. There are just too many variables in the future to worry about that. This particular request has been on the table for well over a year. Was it June of last year that the board gave preliminary approval?
It was a year ago, September. It was this month.
Okay. I thought it was a bit earlier. Yes, if indeed in Toronto or afterwards the GAC comes out and says we need additional protections, then the GNSO will have to consider it. It will probably take another year. And by then, there may well have been, the fact that the imminent release of the first TLD may be soon after that will govern how we respond. And there are just too many variables to consider that. I'm speaking on my own behalf, by the way, not on behalf of At Large or ALAC. I haven't put this to them in this form. But my personal belief is the Jay Scott's and the registry's position, I like the registry's rationale for it, I think is a reasonable thing to do, given that this has been going on for a long time. We have to make some recommendation, and this is a reasonable one which does the minimal amount of harm, of projected harm, regardless of how the PDP comes out. I think it's a good middle ground position to take. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Thomas, you want to follow up? Or
if I may, yes. I started off saying that this idea that Jay Scott brought forward, and which is now supported by the registry, looks very charming. I subscribe to it being charming at first glance, and it looks very forthcoming, and that we're willing to assist. But, Alan, let's not forget the GNSO and the GNSO Council is a policymaking body, and we have been asked for policy advice on this. And policy is always abstract and general, and not necessarily to be dealing with individual questions for individual organizations. Now, the question in this case was specific, but a policy recommendation should include full contemplation of the broader picture, in my view. It is certainly unfortunate that our discussions have taken so long, but I think we've achieved quite something up to now. And let me quote Fadi on this, who said that he's a defender of the multi-stakeholder approach and its speed. So I think the mere fact that our work is now continuing for a year and that we have not been able to conclude it should not make us rush into conclusions and to decisions that might be wrong. When we had our call 2 weeks back, I asked Jim Bycroft how we should respond to a potential question by third parties making the allegation that the GNSO Council is bypassing its own policy. And Jim responded, and I hope I'm not misquoting it here, that there is protection by law or by treaty for these organizations, and that it's the duty of the registries to follow the law. Now, this also looks very charming, but at the same time, it sort of puts our traditional legal mechanisms upside down, because the infringement would be conducted by third-party registrants. And let's just assume for a second that it was the duty for registries to prevent infringements of applicable laws from happening. That would be almost like setting a policeman next to every car driver to prevent them from speeding in the first place. So I think that this argument is not enough justification for reserving names. And it is not so that there is no policy. There is existing policy on reserved names, but this policy does not grant special protection to specific organizations or groups of registrants. And bearing that in mind, I think one can very well go back to the GAC and have a well-written rationale explaining this and also explaining why we need a little bit more patience until the PDP is concluded. And let's not forget, we're talking about the first round now. We're looking at future rounds where, depending on the outcome of the PDP, protection might or might not be in place. So it's not like we're, or the organizations in question are losing everything for good, but they may be confronted with the situation that they don't get special protection in the first round, and that they're sort of limited to using the RPMs that other rights holders are also forced to be using.
Okay, thanks, Thomas. And again, I'm keeping my cheer hat off because actually, frankly, it's more fun. I'm just kidding here. Look, I think Thomas, nobody's saying, and the registries are not saying, that we have some legal duty to protect trademark owners at all. But using your rationale, Thomas, there would have never been any protections at all for trademark owners. There would never be a clearinghouse. There'd never be a sunrise. There'd never be an IP claims or trademark claims process. There'd never, in fact, be necessarily a UDRP or a URS. There is no, registries believe that there are no legal obligations on registries to do any form of protection of trademark owners. But that doesn't mean that it's not necessarily a wise idea, or it doesn't mean in our society, in order to live together, that we're not going to make certain accommodations because it's in the interest of the global internet community and because it's just a generally accepted practice. So, I hear what you're saying, and you're holding steadfast to a legal theory, which may or may not be true, but in the end, it's all about the what-if scenario and the harms that could be caused if what if it is determined through a PDP that these names should have been protected for whatever reason. If that occurs, and I'm not saying it will occur, but if it does, then I'd rather have those names have been left out from the 1,400 TLDs at launch as opposed to now being in a situation where they've been delegated in 1,000 TLDs or more and now going, crap, we got to figure out a way to, okay, once these names are deleted, then the registry is required then to make sure that it reserves those names. Once it's deleted, it creates a whole bunch of coding and development to make sure on the registry side that those names, once deleted, don't go back into the general pool of available names. And then, what happens if a registry accidentally releases it back into the pool again? I mean, it's just a straight practical approach that until a PDP is done, you keep those names out of circulation. And I'm not even going to call them reserved because that kind of tends to say, imply some sort of protection. Just keep them out of circulation. That's it. If the PDP comes out just like you believe it should, which is your legal theory of these organizations don't deserve any additional protections, great. Then the registries, it's easy to figure out a release mechanism for the registries to release those. You obviously have your own legal views, and they may be correct. They may very well be correct, but we don't know that until we have the full PDP, and that's why we have the full PDP to find it out. To me, we could say all we want about this is just the first round, but this is 1,000 TLDs, more than 1,000 TLDs, so it's fairly significant. From the registry standpoint, when we looked at all of these things, it just came down to the fact that it's better to just not distribute these names in the general circulation than it would be to release them and then be faced with the situation of having to pull them back. Thomas?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Let me just clarify that I'm not saying that there shouldn't be any protections for the organizations. What I'm saying is that there shouldn't be any protections without conducting or without having conducted a PDP on that. That's a fundamental difference. And I think that looking at the applicants, and this goes back to my original proposal where I tried to analyze and look at the various categories of applications, I'm not completely sure whether we're talking about 1,400 new TLDs where there is an actual threat for these organizations, because we have a lot of brand owners, we have a lot of applicants that have put their own mechanisms in place to protect certain names. There might be a couple of applicants or a lot of applicants, if we're lucky, that are willing to voluntarily include the names on the list. So it's not like there were no other options. And also, this would not be the first case in which policy comes later than names have been delegated. But let's not dwell on that too much. I think we're exchanging these thoughts also in order to, or at least my purpose of bringing this forward is to bring my reservations or my concerns to the attention of those that have to go back to their groups and decide which path they want to pursue. So I think I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thanks, Thomas. Yeah, I mean, that's important, and really what we all need to do is go back to our groups and figure this out. I mean, Thomas, you're in a unique situation where you don't necessarily have a group to bring it back to as a nominating committee member. Your views are incredibly important, and, I mean, I think they should be considered by all of the groups. I know that I could speak for the registries, and we did absolutely consider all of those, but I think the other groups need to as well. Is there any comment from any of the others? So, Alan, you said you were speaking on behalf of the ALAC. All right, well, let me go to Greg, and then I'll come back to Alan. Greg?
Hi, it's Greg Shatton, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the IPC, just on my own, and would say that, you know, I do agree that unringing the bell, if these names were delegated and then undelegated, had to be undelegated later, you know, would be a nightmare. In contrast, if there are entities that believe that having a name, a domain name that is close to one of the set aside, I won't use the term reserved, set aside domain names or strings is worthwhile, they can, since this is only about identical protections, choose something similar. So the injury that we know would befall these as yet unknown third parties, I think is modest compared to the kind of nightmare scenario of unringing the bell. And I do agree in terms of the number of applicants that we, you know, applications that are out there, in roughly 1,400. Not all 1,400, you know, will raise an issue. I looked at this issue earlier of how many of the 1,400 are actually open. I don't have the number in front of me, but it's 700 or 800. So even if it's 700 or 800 instead of 1,400. 700 delegations times, you know, multiple strings could still be potentially thousands of delegations. So I think that the point, while taken, is not really a difference of any magnitude. I think it is, since unfortunately the PDP, you know, almost certainly will not be completed before the first of these TLDs goes live. It really seems that the only prudent thing to allow the PDP to be meaningful, at least with regard to these two organizations, is to set aside the domain names so that the bell can remain unrung from the beginning, and then only later on, if it turns out that it's determined that there should be no specific protections, it can be the names can then be delegated through mechanisms that, you know, should not be difficult to come up with, since that's really the business that these registrars will and registries will be in. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. So, and I don't know, Alan, if you want to speak, but, and Greg, you had mentioned it too. So what can we do, because we've been saying for weeks now that we want official input from the groups, and we haven't been able to get it. I think we're coming down very much so to crunch time. What can we do to encourage and get the group's response on this proposal or, frankly, on any other one, just to get a definitive response so that we can go back to the GAC in Toronto and have a concrete position? Actually, I should say we have to go back to the council first, and the council would then need to go to the GAC.
And I'd be fine, too, with maybe trying to get a call with the GAC, much like we had a call before the last ICANN meeting, or before the Costa Rica meeting, maybe getting a call with them and going through our position if we have one. So let me go to Alan and then Greg.
Yeah, a couple of things. No, as I said before, I'm not representing the ALAC in what I said. We've been overwhelmed with a number of higher priority issues, and I haven't raised the issue. I will be raising it in the probably later this week. And I don't pretend to know what the outcome will be. The ALAC has been pretty rigid. On the other hand, I think the arguments that are being made right now are strong. It almost goes back to the statement that's somewhat incorrectly attributed to the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm. You know, the real words are something like do good or do no harm. In the absence of knowing exactly where this is going to go, we should take a path which will not put the organizations in a worse position should the PDP come out and decide to protect them. So I think it's a reasonable path to follow, and I will try to get an ALAC, formal ALAC position on it. It may take a little bit of time. My advice at this point is we've had a number of statements from people on this call, and you're representing the registries who may not be on the call. I think as chair you need to put out a consensus call and try to gauge the overall feeling of the group. The work group rules specifically say you can't make decisions like this on a conference call. You must involve the other people in the group. And I think we're now down to one recommendation, which seems to have a fair amount of support, may have a lot of support, may not. And let's decide quickly of, do we go forward and look at other alternatives, or have we identified something for which there is consensus, if not unanimity? I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's a reasonable thing to try to gauge at this point. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Let me go to Greg, and then I'll weigh in. Greg?
No, I would say that I think that we have arrived at a point right now where we're considering, either one or a very limited number of proposals, which I think is very helpful. And I think that, just with Labor Day weekend, at least here in the U.S. interceding, it just was difficult to, get word out and back from the IPC. But I think that it seems to me that what we're considering is either what's being called the J. Scott proposal, which is to set aside the names temporarily pending the outcome of a PDP and to have such a PDP. Seems the only, if you'll kind of consider what the alternatives to that are, the only other alternative is, two alternatives are to have a PDP but not set the names aside and then deal with the problem later if it turns out the PDP says they should not have been delegated or should not be delegated, or to do nothing at all. It seems to me, I guess the fourth alternative is to reserve the names, period, but then I think we've gotten away from that, to reserve them and have no PDP. So it seems like there's really only three alternatives, which is do nothing, have a PDP, but don't set aside the names, and have a PDP and set aside the names. I think that's kind of simple enough I agree with Alan that I think that we could either have a call for consensus on the J. Scott proposal, or we could go back to our organizations and see which of the three, the J. Scott and the two alternatives, which are to do nothing and to just have a PDP without the set-aside, get more traction.
So, thanks, Greg. And it's interesting because, ultimately the GNSO Council is going to decide whether or not to do a PDP on this after the issue report is raised. We would just be doing a recommendation. So I really see what I'm starting to see as a consensus. I don't think anyone disagrees with the recommendation that there should be a full PDP on this issue. Putting aside whether there's a full PDP on the IGOs, I'm getting the feeling that we have consensus or even unanimity on the fact that a full PDP should be done on this. But then the question is, like you said, what do we do with the names pending the outcome of the PDP? And then there's two options there. And there may be others that we just haven't considered. But what I'd like to do is, in line with your comments and Alan's comments, is have a week to go back, and I'll write this up on an email, but essentially have a week to go back to consider the J. Scott proposal and the alternative, and come next week to the call with just a discussion on things that you've heard. And after next week's call, assuming that things are pretty much the same as where we are now, is to issue the consensus call and give 2 weeks to finalize the votes on the consensus call, or the, shouldn't call them votes, whatever we call them, during the consensus call, and maybe even during that two-week period trying to set up a meeting with the GAC representatives to walk them through our thought processes on these. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. I realize as we're having this discussion, I'm not 100% sure when we say reserve the IOC and Red Cross names, whether we are talking about the specific list in the GAC request or honoring the words that went along with that list, saying it is representative and therefore had to be enlarged based on other languages and things, and we have follow-on lists to that. So I'm just not sure which list we're talking about, and I think we need to be careful and make sure that we're all using the same definition. Thank you.
So the most current proposal at the second level was only the exact matches in the six UN languages.
Okay, but I thought the GAC words, said that it was a representative list.
I think that was with respect to the top level.
Okay, I have to go back. Okay, as long as we make really clear which list we're talking about when we ask the question, I don't really care which way it is, but I think we need to make sure that we're not, that everyone knows exactly what we're talking about. Thank you.
Yeah, we can be very specific to that as well. I think you're right. We need to be specific in the proposal. Thomas.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm just wondering whether we have a week, if we have a call in a week from now, whether all the representatives will have had the chance to talk to their groups. I mean, is that realistic? Rather than going over the remaining proposals again and again, I'd rather like to hear from the individual groups and ask them for statements. Just maybe as an encouragement to you as chair, maybe we should actually have a definite deadline for the group to specify whether they would like to propose other options rather than the two options that we have just flagged. And in the absence of that, we're just talking about the two, and then actually have an agenda
where
the individual groups are required to report on the feedback. I don't know how we can grab the momentum on this, but I think we need to make sure that we get some tangible feedback. Certainly, that doesn't preclude in any way the discussions at the GNSO level, and there might be other proposals introduced then, but I think we need to bring this to close in this group because we're starting to move in circles.
Yeah, so I agree that we need feedback from other groups. The only difficulty I had in the statement you made is getting other proposals. We've had months for groups to get in other proposals. So I think the time right now is to try to wrap up our group. We've spent a lot of time narrowing the options down. So my goal for this group is to narrow it down to one proposal. Maybe it's two if we're split, and then put that out for comment as opposed to just creating this open proposal. So possibly what I wanted to do for the next week was to just say, okay, just get everyone's nod in the group that this is what's remaining, this is the narrowing down, this is where we're at, and then maybe even put it out for public comment but we need to discuss that next week. I'm just not so comfortable doing that with so many people out right now. Otherwise, I would be much more definitive. That's my kind of view. I was like, I want to give it the extra week so that other people could come and attend next week. It's just, you know, such a high rate of people that are out.
Just to clarify, don't get me wrong. I don't want to encourage anyone to come up with completely new proposals. It's just to make sure that nobody wants a proposal back that we have reduced on the list, right, because there were so few people attending.
Yeah, I think there have been enough emails now across the list and enough discussions that we've narrowed it down to what this group could recommend. And obviously, 10 people could show up next week and say no to that, and then, you know, we're back to the drawing board. But I think we need to kind of to push it forward. But let me go to Alan and then Greg.
Yeah, thank you. I on that one point, I agree. If someone comes up next week and says, no, you misunderstood, I really want another one on the table, then we put it back. You know, so be it. It's not worth agonizing over. It's just nicer to have a shorter list rather than a longer list when going to all of our groups. In terms of the timing, what you're suggesting of 1 week plus 2 weeks works perfectly for at large. We have a meeting the day before our what would be our scheduled meeting. So that works perfectly for at large. I don't know how well it works for other groups. I would think in a three-week window, pretty much all groups are likely to be meeting or could hold a meeting if necessary. Thank you.
Okay, Greg?
This is Greg Satin, and you know, I would agree. We have an IPC meeting scheduled for the 11th, which is next Tuesday, so that works well in terms of trying to finalize a response to these proposals and, you know, perhaps make a last clear call for anybody to, you know, object violently that one of the proposals that just got taken off should be restored. I think that we've now gone. We're out of the lazy, crazy, hazy days of summer, and you know people should be getting more focused on getting things done. I think we all kind of, you know, the entire world seems to sag a little bit during the summer with regard to vocational and volunteer type of things like this. But I think it's just time to kind of put this thing in the chute and get it done in terms of timing. And I think there's nothing like a series of deadlines to focus the minds. Of those who have now, you know, returned to their desks and put their fall hats on.
Hopefully. And I'm hoping that within the next week, the final issue report will be out. I don't know if Margie's on right now, or Brian can answer that question of whether the final issue report on the IGOs will be out in the next week. Brian?
Sorry, I was on mute. That's our goal. Our goal is to try to get it published by, you know, middle of end of next week. So that's what we're working towards.
Okay, and that'll be good, too, because, you know, obviously the council needs to have a discussion as to whether we're going to initiate a PDP.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that, from just previous discussions, that we will. Obviously, if we don't initiate the PDP on the full IGO, it still will be our recommendation to do our group's recommendation to do a PDP, at least on the Olympic Committee names and the Red Cross names. But what I'll try to do is also set up a call with the GAC representatives on this issue for the next few weeks to go over it with them. You know, we do have some time with this issue of just discussing with the GAC, definitely in Toronto, but we'll also have to have a public comment period, you know, put it out for official public comment as well. We were criticized the last time for not doing that. This time we don't have as much of a time crunch. If we have a proposal that we think most people buy into, since the first Mutual Heal deal will not be launched until next year anyway. All right, anybody else with anything to add? Anything we missed that people want to cover? All right, it seems like I think we can end this call early. So anyone object to ending the call early? I will take silence as a lack of objection. So thank you, everyone. I will send around an email to update the rest of the group on where we are. And please come back in the next week or next week's call some more input from your groups, and that's not final input, but please have some more input.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye, everybody.
Thank you very much, and sorry for being silent. I will go through the transcript and make my comment later in writing. Thank you.
Thanks, okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Sandy. You may now stop the recording.